All right. So here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you so much, BBS, possible for us. And we have a simulcast, as usual, the internet radio with a conference call. And every time you hear a ding, that there's somebody joining in on the phone line. We had two more people join in. I welcome you, folks. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, Cleo from Connecticut.
Hi, Cleo. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, good evening.
And this
it's
is Will from Salt Lake.
But there's two people at the same time. I think I picked out Will from Salt Lake.
That's me.
Hi, Will. Welcome to the call.
Good to
Hi,
be here.
It's Chris from Bluebell.
Hi, Chris. Well,
hi. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Now, Will from Salt Lake, you've been with us before, right?
Yeah, this is my third call.
All right. Welcome back, my friend.
Good to be back. Enjoying it.
All right.
How is that weather in Oklahoma City today? This is Mountain Grove, Missouri, and we just had a front pass over us. We got all kinds of banging and crashing and lightning and thunder and had to unplug the computer, the phones. But other than that, it's not too bad.
In Oklahoma City, it's been kind of overcast and kind of rainy off and on, I guess. But it's definitely a lot cooler than yesterday. I like the cool part of it, but not so fond of the overcast part. We need the rain over here, so I can't really complain. It's pretty good overall.
We had somebody else join in. I welcome you. Please say a name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Good Hi. Evening, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello. Am I still here? I guess so.
I welcome to the
call. We just had a lightning strike that went boom at the same time we're seeing the lightning.
Oh, wow. Two more people joined in here for conference call, phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good.
All right. And somebody else joined in. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Michael in Camino, California.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Hi, my name's Brenda.
Hello, hi. Thank you.
All right. Hello, Brenda.
Hi.
Where are you located, Brenda?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yeah. All right. Pennsylvania is well represented tonight.
Where in Pennsylvania? A college town called Bloomsburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been on before.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yes. Goody.
Somebody else join in here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call. Welcome to the group. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing, Terry.
You're welcome.
All right.
You didn't bring that guy.
Is the email running yet?
What?
Is the email running yet? I still haven't gotten emails in about 3 weeks.
It's running now.
Yes. I did receive yesterday's and also full announcement, so it's been running. We had somebody else join in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Oh, hi. This is Tammy from Playa Del Rey, California.
Tammy, good evening to you, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, so I'm not receiving any of mine either.
Now, look in your trash folder, because to me, too, it happened a few times in the last 2 weeks that they end up in the trash folder. Or either the trash or the what do you call the other stuff?
Spam.
Wham-a-lam-bam. Spam.
You know, another thing is to make whatever emails I'm using contact list, because then your email will recognize it as a real person that you connect with. So we have, go look at through some of your past emails You know, there's Winfrey at Yahoo. Make that a contact. Make Winfrey at speedoflove.iwarp.com a contact, okay?
Uh-huh.
And see if that changes things. Also, if you're on Gmail, Gmail has this new thing where they try to divide your emails into three groups automatically.
No,
if you notice. And if all else fails, you can try to resubscribe, unsubscribe, and resubscribe. If it says
I tried to resubscribe, and they tell you no.
But did you unsubscribe first?
It was right
or get a new. No. You can unsubscribe. If you can't resubscribe, then unsubscribe and then resubscribe. Okay. Go to one of the old emails we sent, and there's a little unsubscribe thing at the bottom. Do unsubscribe, and then unsubscribe and resubscribe. And if all else fails, get a new email account, like with Gmail, and resubscribe under that email account, okay? Because from my side, believe me, I can't figure out how to fix it, all right? I've tried with people, and it's indicating that it's being sent out. And the Internet is too complicated to figure out why, when something is sent out, it doesn't go where it's supposed to go. But if you set up a new email account and just resubscribe in that email account, the chances are you'll start getting them, you know?
The negative.
Well,
Trying to keep us apart.
Well, let's not, you know what? The whole thing with the negative is to work around. Don't sit there and say, I'm not getting a new email account. I got to fix this. You suckers, stop blocking me.
I was thinking that.
I know you were. That's why I said it. Marilyn. I know how you are. Is Terry here?
Hello, Terry. Yes, he is.
Do I sound exceptionally good today?
You sound good.
No, you always do.
No, we do.
Connection-wise, no.
Everyone can answer but Dwayne, okay?
You're a little low.
Yeah, you're a little low.
My volume is low?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what?
They're not talking about blood supply.
It sounds good on my end here.
I'm on Skype. Maybe I'll call in on the cell phone.
It's okay. It's not great.
Okay, just a second.
Well, your fault, Fred.
I did turn the entry and exit signs off, so we had more people join in here in the last few minutes. I welcome you all, and if you have a chance and you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, Robin Ronnie. Hello, Robin, Sedona Jim here.
Sedona Jim, welcome.
How are you? How are you?
Good. Is it Juliana?
Yeah, it's San Diego.
Welcome to the call. Somebody else has...
Thank you.
Cindy and Peoria.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Chris in Memphis.
Michael.
Percy, hello. North Carolina.
Percy. Hi, Percy.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ronnie.
Who's that?
Robin Ronnie in Glendora, California.
Hi, Robin. Welcome to the call.
Hello. It's Michael.
Hey, Michael. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Alexandra in West Melbourne, Florida.
Good evening, Alexandra. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
This is my cell phone. Is this better?
A little better to me.
That's good to me. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the call.
Okay.
Carla in Okotoks, Alberta.
Good evening, Carla. Welcome to the call.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
You see Carla?
Hello, Carla.
You see Carla?
Hello.
All right. So when... let's see. Yes, I see you here.
Where is Terry?
Terry is present, but she's probably trying to find some sort of a mute button.
Terry, are you there? Can I hear you, Terry?
Can you hear me?
Terry.
Yes, we hear you.
We hear you.
It's a medium.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, I did mute the lines to get some clarity on the line over here.
Are we on BBS yet?
We are on BBS, yes. I welcome all those people who are joining in through BBS Radio. It's 6:04 and...
Hello, BBS. Hello, everybody. Hello. Let me start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Welcome to Monday, the day after Mother's Day, May 12th, 2014. And Wynn and Terry and Hives and everybody on our line. And I got a lot of emails about yesterday's session. If you haven't listened to it, you might enjoy it at thespiritchannel.net. It was a session where it was kind of like people were talking about their mothers. And it was an open mic where people came in, and people were giving their experiences, both pluses and minuses, about their upbringing and their parents, because it's something that we usually take for granted and don't think about. But many of us have had great things. I guess the word is implanted or transferred from our parents, the way we grew up. And some of us came from really loving families. And I picked Hives out as a guy that came from a really loving family because he is so loving. And then other of us did not come from loving families, and we felt like we were rejected or we weren't good enough, or we got yelled at all the time, or we got beat up or spanked, whatever. And those are things that it becomes your challenge to get over in this lifetime. And then we also mentioned that because you have challenges to get over, on some level, most of us picked our parents. Some of us picked parents that would cause us to get over challenges so we could get strong. And it's like doing push-ups. And I'm one of those people. I had a difficult childhood, and for years I went through a lot of stuff, and I can relate to it being connected to my childhood, and that there were probably many reasons why I chose that experience. But when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to think of one because you're suffering and your parents did it to you, okay, if you're in that ilk. So it was an interesting call, and I hope you listen to it, thespiritchannel.net. And tonight, I was going to talk about the veil, and I think you're going to be surprised at some of the things I share this evening, because as I was getting closer to this call, I was having this realization that many of you that are listening may not know it, or they may never have thought about it in these terms, but you are becoming adepts. You know what an adept is? A-D-E-P-T. You know, I'm sitting here in front of the internet. Let me look up the word adept and see what they say, then I'll tell you how I look at it. And my take on the word adept, here we go, adept,
a highly skilled or well-trained individual. And that is, this is another definition. I think this is more how I would use it. An adept is an individual identified as having attained a specific level of knowledge, skill, or aptitude in doctrines relevant to a particular organization. And sometimes the negative uses the word adepts for people who are learning about, and it doesn't appear negative though, okay? The negative is tricky, that some of the stuff, even when I was younger, I was reading some of this stuff, like Theosophy, Alice Bailey, Madame Blavatsky, Mr. Crowley. They talk about ascended masters. They talk about various levels of initiation, first degree, second degree, third degree, fourth degree, fifth degree, sixth degree. And in a sense, there's something we're doing here that's not based on that particular group of doctrines. And it's something else. We are making it up as we go. But many of you who have been attending our calls have been learning stuff that I don't think you knew you were going to learn by participating in this work. I didn't even know you were going to learn it. I didn't know where this was going. But you've learned that there are levels. There are levels of expansion. There are beings on the other side that some of you have learned to feel. Do you know, when you feel an expansion of energy, when you feel that, the first time you feel that expansion, if you were going into old-time traditional spiritual evolution, you could say that you had an initiation because you suddenly experienced an expansion beyond where you normally were at. And once you experience that, part of you then goes on this thing of saying, well, God, I felt that. Was that, what was that? That was real. It felt really good. But then you go back to your normal consciousness. You don't hold that new space yet, but you know that it's there. And part of you is, I won't say for all of you, but many of you would say, I want to learn how to hold that space. I want more of that. When you make that decision that you want more of that, you are now becoming yourself, appointing yourself as an adept. You had an experience, and you want more. And now, how do you learn how to have more? And on many of these calls that we have done, we have been talking about that, how to have more, how to get yourself out of the way, how to work out your old patterns that have kept you compressed, because we all have them. Being in this realm, you can't help but have old patterns. And
They come from many lifetimes. And people want to know, well, what were my past lifetimes? How did I get these patterns? How do I get rid of them? Now, the thing is, at a certain point, knowledge drops by the wayside. And willpower drops by the wayside because you can't will these things to occur. There's something that happens in between the lines that happens on these calls all the time now, and that I'm not doing it. I've gotten to the place where I believe it's going to happen. I believe we're going to have this consciousness present, and I'll start talking, and it starts coming in. And it's coming in right now while I'm talking. Some of you feel this flow. So they don't have to talk to us to make it come in. It's our intent. And it started out, I suppose, with my intent to make these calls as valuable as they could be to everyone, and not just to be a celebrity or a center of attention or bring new things in every week and having guests. And I think I have to not be bored, and I get bored easily. And the only thing that keeps me from getting bored is moving into this energy and feeling the energy and feeling you feeling the energy. Because when that happens, not only are you growing and expanding, but we as a group are expanding the flow of love light energy into planet Earth, onto planet Earth. And as you learn how to do this, some of you have gotten to this place where your life has shifted and people start treating you differently, but not through anything you're doing consciously. It's something that happens in spite of yourself. And one of the questions, when you're doing that, you are expanding beyond what we call the veil. And there is a veil of energy around the earth that supposedly, now I've read about this, we're gonna do a little channeling session, and we're gonna ask some questions about this. Supposedly it was put there because earthlings were so difficult and so warlike that there was an energy that was placed there to keep everyone contained. And that an individual does not have to be bound by that containment. And that in your own learning and adeptness and mastery, you learn to penetrate the veil. And one of the signs on these calls of penetrating the veil is feeling that energy, because that energy does not come from Earth. It does not come from other people, although we share it and we increase we increase the affinity of our energies, which creates more of a basket, a receptivity for the higher energies. We help each other create a group energy, which then, when we put our intention and attention on it, it starts being a receiving station for the energies of the higher realms. So
one key in penetrating the veil is group energy. And that's as true for me as it is for you. Even when Terry and I do a channeling session, we always create a group energy between the two of us. And that brings in the higher dimensions. And it's like individually, it's harder to do. And of course, we can bring in a group energy even over the phone. Because right now, Terry and I are in different locations, and we're bringing in that energy between the two of us and between all of you. And somehow, there's a learning that occurs by keeping coming to these calls of like, wow, aha, I can see how this works. And then you go back and you're still going in your old patterns and being stuck. And I wanted to talk about a little about those patterns as it relates to getting through the veil. Now, you know, interestingly enough, I have never said this before, but while I was thinking about this, I think it's true. Who do we have there making noise?
It's me. I'll mute myself.
Well, just remember, if you're muted, where to unmute it, okay? I was thinking that most of us have the challenge of how getting through the veil and getting into the energy of the higher realms. And some of us have the challenge of being through the veil and having trouble getting the energy on the earth plane. And I think Terry is one of those, which, you know, that when we do what we do, we help ground the energy, which I think she's always at this connection, but she has to fall into a situation in her life or one of her past lives where something grounded the energy. So this thing that most people would say, wow, she's really spacey, can get grounded and be useful to us in our physical existence because she has so much to offer. And does that make sense to you, Terry?
Yeah. It's kind of extraordinary to be on the other side of the veil and be able to look at the earth from way above it, or to be able to get bigger and smaller so that I can be here in the room and just connected. And sometimes if I'm over on the other side, I have to work with this little phone. Sometimes difficult.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no piece of cake to be on the other side and not be able to get through the veil to get into this side. Would you say that, Terry?
Well, I just have to do it, but, I mean, if I'm over there and I try to operate the phone, I might just, you know, not realize all the details and turn it off instead of mute it.
But even before you were channeling, even though you were not channeling, channeling is just, you don't have to channel to be expanded on the other side of the veil. It's an energy that your upper chakras are opened up, and you're very loving, but you're not grounded. And
right.
I mean, Terry has to work very hard to be grounded. And I mean, sometimes it drives me crazy because she has a very difficult, can I talk about you? You can tell me if I'm wrong, but you know, I think it just helps people to understand the mechanics of all this. She has a difficult time
multitasking, for example. She will do a task and be totally focused on it. And she can't, she has a really hard time leaving that task and going to a task until it's finished and completed. Or leaving that task temporarily, doing something else, and then going back to it and going back and forth. I mean, an unusually hard time. And I think it's the aspect of you have to use a lot of attention to ground and complete a task. That's what I, does that sound right?
Well, I use a lot of attention to just, you know, be in the realm and to, it seems like it's a lot harder. It's pretty kind of difficult to move around. Everything's kind of heavy or something. And it's easier to move around on the astral than it is, you know, and fly above the earth, look at everything, than it is to see ground in the room and keep the attention on the room. But I can change back and forth easily between, like one conversation and to the other side and back. I kind of got that down pretty good. I can change back and forth pretty good.
Mm-hmm. In conversations, you mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're grounding this work. I think I would say grounding is the right word. And, see, I think in St. Catherine's time, it's a similar thing. Somebody had to ground the energy so it could manifest. And then when it manifests, it's miraculous stuff to happen. And access to information and access to these good souls. But it's very hard to get it to ground. And so the point I'm making is it's either way, coming from the top down or from the bottom up, you have, there's this veil that you have to figure out the mechanics of how you get through the veil. And we had the question about why is there a veil? Why is it we can't remember everything? Why don't we know our past lives? And we're going to ask those this evening in just a moment. I wanted to say one thing that's been my experience is that when you're in a body, we've talked many times about the chakra system, starting at the root chakra, going up to the crown chakra, and that how you get all those open, if you can. How do you open all those energies? And some people have gotten the idea that, well, I just want to aim for the higher chakras, like as if that's an accomplishment, and disregard the lower chakras. But if you succeed in that, it's not enough because you're not functional in the world, because the lower chakras keep your energy in 3D. And the goal here is not to leave 3D and abandon it. It's to be here and to be there at the same time. And to have the flow of energy moving through all your chakras. Now, I remember a teacher. His name was Yogi Bhajan. And years ago, he said something. And I thought about it a long time, and I still think about it, and I think he was correct. And he was talking about there being a barrier in your body between the upper chakras and the lower chakras, and that he said that sex was the way to move through that barrier. And, or I should say orgasm. And I thought about that, because at the time I heard that, like many of you, I had heard that sex was of a lower nature. It was something to be overcome. It was something that you're supposed to transcend if you're going to be spiritual. And at a certain point, I mean, I went through a period where I tried to do that. I tried, there's a Sanskrit word called brahmacharya, which is a renunciate, somebody that renunciates worldly things and gives up sex and other things, you know, gives up rich food, gives up spices. And, you know, the idea, if you read about it, is about denying your senses, because that helps you get into the higher dimensions. Now, then I have read that most spiritual groups and churches have things against sexuality, against masturbation, against sexual release, because it's a sin, it's only appropriate if you're married, you know, there's all these rules attached to it. But what happens is, if people are denying their sexual release, their energy stays blocked in that area, and they don't make the link between the lower chakras and the higher chakras, and they're easier to control and manipulate, because when somebody makes that link, they become very empowered. And so if you want to be controlling people, if you want people to be depending on you, sending you money, all that stuff, this doesn't mean you shouldn't send us money, because we really appreciate it and we need it, and it keeps us on the air. It also keeps us knowing that we're making a difference. But we do not make sending money a prerequisite to getting this information. We do not make you feel guilty if you don't tithe, although that's one of the things that churches have done, making people feel that if they don't, they're not going to get to heaven. Now, there is a higher aspect to all of that, and that is, if we're you and you're us, and we're doing this thing that supports you, by supporting us back in the law of one aspect, then you're supporting that which supports you, and it completes the circuit to a certain degree. So it's tricky making any rule of conduct to say you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But the one thing I do know churches do and spiritual groups do is they create circumstances where people don't feel good about having sex and feel guilt about it, feel there's something wrong with it. And to me, it allows a huge amount of control by these churches. And then, of course, when you lift the covers up, you find in the Catholic Church, you find all the priests having some kind of sex, some of it really illicit, some of it perverted. But their need to have an orgasm has not disappeared, okay? And they have to fulfill that need in ways that cause them to feel guilty. Now, I'm talking from a man's point of view, and a woman's point of view is different. I'm not as expert on that, so I'm just going to hang in with a man's point of view. and that this is one of the things that opens the energies up. Remember what Yogi Bhajan said? He said, energy, that bridge across you that keeps the lower chakras and the higher chakras separated. And a sectoral release closes that bridge. Now, this is a really tricky thing to talk about because it's not just getting your rocks off or having sex in a promiscuous fashion that works. And then you start drawing in other people's energies, and then they have karma, and then you can't have sex with another person without having their karma flow through you and moving into their level of their experience. So you need to do this with as conscious, if you're going to do it with another person, you need to do it with as conscious a being as you can, so you don't get stuck and pulled in to their karmic path, because that will happen. I know the experience of that. I've done that. And, you know, you operate on the idea of love and wanting to be loving, and suddenly you're having sex and you're in somebody else's karma, and you don't feel present. You feel like they're relating to someone that's not you. So how do you move through this? How do you move through this? You have to, you don't have, if you happen to be in a relationship like that right now, you don't have to leave the relationship. You have to involve yourself with something that does act with you as to who you really are. And then you'll be as loving and caring to the person that you're in a relationship with. But don't expect them to be the be-all and everything when they're operating at a more contracted space than you. It means you need to draw something into your life, like our calls, that are operating at the real level of who you are. And then you can have a relationship with someone that's more contracted and not feel trapped by it. If you only have that relationship, you're going to feel trapped. And it's going to make you angry, and you're going to want to bust out of it, or you're going to want to be a slave, or it's going to have all kinds of negative implications. Well, this is all connected because we're talking about going through the veil. And if you go through the veil without having your lower chakras in gear, you just get spaced out. It's like people that have done a lot of drugs sometimes open up to very high energies. But they have done that, but they do not have grounding. And so they're dysfunctional in this realm. So you need to keep your grounding at the same time you move your chakras up, because moving your chakras up, moving to the seventh chakra, is what starts to move you into the space beyond the veil. Now, Terry has her experience, and I have my experience. Terry's experience seems to be she goes up there, she floats. She's in the astral, which is not necessarily where you want to stop at, but there are a lot of deceased souls in the astral. When somebody dies, they usually end up in the astral. If you're on a spiritual path, if you are an adept, if you're saying, I want to get as high as I can be, you go higher than the astral. And that's, you know, on Sundays, I believe we bring in an energy that is higher than the astral, and that we move through our track. And what happens is, when you have that experience
of that kind of expansion, and I'll just speak from my own experience, because I'm sure other people have different experiences, and I'm not broad enough to tell everybody what everyone's experience is. But my own experience is that when I move into those higher realms, it's not like I experience myself floating around somewhere, but I suddenly have insights. I ask a question, and the question comes back. When I was writing songs, I could access that, and I would create flows that come from beyond the veil, and the flows would integrate, but I wasn't doing it out of my conscious mind. I would write a sentence down, then another sentence, then another sentence, and before you know it, there's a whole string of sentences that are connected, and they're kind of very elegantly connected. And it looks like I was really smart, but I wasn't able to make those connections because it happened automatically. Just like on these calls, it may sound like I'm using the same thing when I talk. I start talking, and I have this inherent knowledge of a lot of things. But I don't think about it. I don't think that I know all this stuff. And then I start talking, and it starts putting it together. So I have to be moving outside of the veil to put it together in the way that it flows into the physical through my voice into the space. And so it's like if you want to start learning how to expand beyond the veil, you might try just writing thoughts down. Write things down. Ask your high self for guidance. And write a sentence, and then write another sentence. And don't try to look at it and think about it, because you'll screw it up. You just have to be spontaneous and see if you can catch the flow. Just say, I'd like guidance, and then write down. We did an exercise called I Am Ra. You can say, I am Ra, and then write down one sentence after another, after another, after another. Now, if you get a high source or a high aspect of yourself, it's going to counsel you. And if you get a low source, it's going to say, we are an ascended master, and we know everything, and we're going to tell you what to do, and beware of anything that comes through like that. That's why you have to invoke the Christed energy, the law of one energy, and then really mean it. Don't just say it like perfunctory is the word, in a perfunctory way. Hi, we have the right to be present, you know. It's your intent, because this is serious business, and when you start expanding, you expand into other dimensions. You're visible. When we do our Sunday calls, by doing that expansion, we do connect with these group souls. I'm sure we do. And at the same time, we are moving through many of the lower dimensions where there are loads of service to self intelligences that can see you. See may not be aware of you. It's better than see. And you don't want them to grab you and suddenly say there's something higher, because that's what they will do. So you've got to learn the frequencies of the highest so you don't get caught. And don't keep inviting them back if they show up. Say, this is like Carla Ruckert says, to ask, you come in the name of the Christ. You come in the name of Jesus. That's her way. And she believes that she says that three times and challenges them. If they're negative, they'll go away. And if you have your heart open and your heart energy open and your power chakra open, you create a protected field that keeps negative things from coming in. Well, oftentimes people have their heart chakra and not their power chakra, particularly people when they're first on a spiritual path and they don't know how to have their power chakra open. And so, therefore, and if you don't have your wisdom chakra open, we're talking about the third, fourth, and fifth chakras, your wisdom chakra allows you to have discernment. Your heart chakra allows you to create loving merger with other beings. And your power chakra allows you to put protective screens up so negative stuff can't come through. So until you have all of those things open and you're trying to go through the veil, you've got to use your very high intent to create super protection for you. And don't look for beings. Don't look for messages, because that's a temptation to get hooked into lower things. Don't look for phenomena, although phenomena, we've seen loads of phenomena happening around this work. I never look for it. I'm as always amazed as anyone else when a miracle happens or when somebody gets a healing. And on that note, I think we will open up for a session. We got about 12 or 13 minutes, and then we can get some even deeper clarification. Well, maybe I'm wrong in some of these things, and they can correct me. I'm not attached to being right at all, and see what we can learn. So, Terry, let me see if you're unmuted. I think you are. Say something.
Yeah.
Hello, Terry.
We don't.
Oh, okay. We hear you. We hear you loud and clear.
All right.
Father, Mother God, we ask right now for the presence of the light, the Christ of light, to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? And would they like to comment on this topic?
Thank you. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 12th of May 2014. And we take a moment and make connection. We see that in any connection that a person makes, if it increases the well-being and increases the openness of the individual, increases the opening of the chakras, increases the love that the person feels, then this is a relationship within some boundaries, that it isn't a one-night stand that would not be in harmony with the rest of the person's life. Then if the person is able to establish a relationship that is very opening to the love and release the floodgates of love, then this will be healing for the person. you really specific questions.
Yes, in talking about the veil, why is there a veil? Why is it that we can't remember from one life to another? Was there a design in that? Was there some master creators that by intention came to the conclusion that we, our lives would grow, we would grow better if we had no memory? Or was it a byproduct of something that was just, how would we say it, had to be in order to have life? Could you explain a little of that?
It says more of a byproduct when the individual focuses into an individual life, and the body form that they take is made of stardust, is made of earth dust, is made of past nurturing ingredients that causes the body to grow and take form. There are all those memories that are present, the memory of the genetic line, the memory of the earth, the memory of the stardust, and it confuses the issue. The person then focusing out tends to see all of these multitude of things and to simply focus out and accept this as the frequencies that make up their life, although they don't even think of them as frequencies that make up their life. They think of them as their life, so they can have multiple cells in their body that are doing multiple things, and they are parallel and with the phenomena of that. They are feeling the phenomena of that, and it is all in harmony, reacting with them, so that when they are triggered with stress, then the adrenals begin to give forth their chemicals to counteract the stress. And the body works as a whole. However, this takes the person's attention off of the past that they have had and catapults them into the present and the operation of the present body. So it is a byproduct of life, and it is not necessary to fall into the lack of memory and to focus so hard on the life frequencies in the third density that they do not focus on any of the past, which is always and ever there, but it is not available to them unless they tune in to it. So that is the main reason why they lose the memories of the past life, although the memories of the past life are still there. It is like detuning a radio station, so you do not realize that the radio station is there to be tuned in if you were to tune the radio properly to it.
Thank you. When somebody is feeling stuck and they hear about this veil and they're saying to themselves, how do I penetrate this veil? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to just begin to observe and pay attention. When they close their eyes, what do they see? Do they see anything in a vision form? Do they see pictures? Do they see blackness? What is it they see when they close their eyes? And there was one gentleman who closed his eyes. There's more than one, but there was one particular gentleman, when he closed his eyes, he just saw blackness. And then other people see brilliant pictures, moving pictures when they close their eyes. It has to do with how they relate to the current life and how they view, subconsciously view their past. If they view their past, if it's difficult to even conceive of viewing their past, then they can see blackness. And it is hard for them to to remember their past than for someone who does see vivid pictures when they close their eyes, and pictures of their past life. Memories can be mixed in with those pictures. And deja vu of places that you go and they look familiar can be from past life memories of being in that particular spot. Deja vu of meeting people that look familiar, that you feel comfortable with, can be connection from the past life. So a person does remember, even though it's not consciously, they subconsciously remember. And sometimes these people will meet and fall in love and marry and not realize that they have been together before.
Thank you.